Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season.
Friday, here we go. Alan Pupar joining us after the Dolphins end up losing 30-28 to the Atlanta Falcons. How are you doing, sir?
Better than the Dolphins.
Yes, can you hear me? There we go. You got your Montreal Expos hat. Nice job by you, sir. What was that?
Sorry, my son. My son was just came to talk to me for a second. I'm sorry.
Okay. It's all good. All right. So first of all, is Flo losing this team? Because they played hard today, actually, all the way to the end. They may not be competent, they may not be good, but at 1-5 now, 1-6 now, we look at this team. Is Flo getting close to that point where he's going to lose this team?
Yeah, you'd have to think that the more the less it's, the losses pile up, the closer to that happening it's going to be. But like I said, they played hard. They played hard last week against Jacksonville. That's two straight games they lost on a last-second field goal. Again, I go back to my original point where last year was a year where everything that could go right went right, and the mojo lined up perfectly fine, and you squeeze out every ounce of wins out of the talent of the roster you have, and this year it's the opposite. The mojo is bad. Everything that can go wrong goes wrong, and you're squeezing the absolute least out of the talent you have, because this is not a great team necessarily, but it's not a 1-16 either. So, but they're playing hard. So I can't buy this notion of not trying. And if you look at the big plays of the game, that big completion to Kyle Pitts on the right sideline, that's pretty good coverage on the play. It's just a perfect pass by Matt Ryan, who got beat by a better play. And then every single big play that happens is usually one of those occasions. And again, it's just the mojo being wrong.
Yeah, the mojo's been wrong. And at 1-6 now, do you think the owner is really thinking of changes? Because as this piles on, I don't know how you start to justify bringing people back, because that's kind of what tore Cam down, is that it got more and more dysfunctional. And I got to tell you something, Alan, it's a bad look for him when he stands up during the podium and says, well, they're playing hard, and they're, you know, in practice they don't make mistakes, and they're not committing the turnovers, and, you know, we're not doing enough, and we've got to do more, and we've got to coach better. And all these things are said, but yet every week we see the same kind of team on the field. A team that lacks offense, a team that can't play consistently defensively, a team that makes mistakes and penalties, all these things. It's kind of the same thing over and over and over again, and nothing changes. So I would imagine that credibility is going to be lost, too, in the process for the owner.
Yeah, except here's the thing, though, Flo, and this goes back to, like, excuse me, like, I'm very big in deciphering what coaches say and what it really means. After he keeps losing and losing and losing this way, I mean, what else is he going to say? I mean, unfortunately, it's a pattern repeats itself. Now, will Stephen Ross contemplate changes? Well, if the season goes south and they go 2-15, as we discussed last time we spoke, absolutely. But if the Dolphins keep playing hard and they pick up some wins here and there down the stretch, I could see them bringing back Flores. I don't think there's a question about it. So I think that story has yet to be written. It's going to depend on how the Dolphins play. If they don't give up, if they play hard, but they have to pick up some wins here and there down the stretch as well.
When you look at Flo right now and the decisions being made out there with the offensive coordinator, and I know, I think it was Joe Shad. There were a couple of you guys that were kind of following up, and Dave Hyde, obviously. And now it was reported that Flo basically lied, because he said initially that Godsey was the guy that called plays, and that Fry was just relaying the calls. And maybe he could give him some pointers or something like that. Well, the story ended up that Trent Dilfer was right, that Fry was actually had the ability to even change and call his own play if he wanted to at that moment. And then there's talk now that he was responsible for that mess in the end zone of the safety. So don't lose credibility in the media's eyes by blatantly lying about something that really there was no need to lie about, actually.
Well, here's the thing, though, because unless I'm severely mistaken, Flo never said Gotsi was the ultimate play caller. Flo said that Gotsi was the one that after the first few weeks was the one now relaying the plays. I don't recall, maybe I'm getting senile, but I don't recall Flo ever saying Gotsi was the one who was calling the plays. I don't ever recall that because I don't recall Flo ever wanting that out there. He wants the whole, it's a collaborative effort, all of that and all of that. To me, I'm not even sure that matters as much as if you look at the big picture. If you want to say whether it's Charlie Fry, whether it's Eric Studisville, whether it's George Gotsi, you're looking at three guys who have fairly minimal experience as offensive coordinators. And you have a lot of chefs in the kitchen and what they're cooking is kind of not very tasty. So,
well, I gotta tell you, yeah, I think so I'm going crazy then because I thought the early comments from him, he said Gotsi called the play, sent it down, and all Fry was doing was relaying the play. That's what I understood. I got to go back and look at that soundbite because I'm pretty sure that's how he explained it to us initially, that Gotsi called the play and that Fry was only there to relay the play and then give him some tips on something he saw or something along those lines.
What he said early on was there's a lot of discussion going on before every play. The call is relayed to Charlie Fry, who relays it to Tua. Never in those discussions was it ever determined that it's Gotsi making the call. So that's always been kept nebulous, which is the way Flo wants it, because he doesn't want any one of his assistant coaches to be singled out. But again,
if you're relaying a call to Fry, it only comes from one place. Gotsi. Studsville wasn't making any calls. We all know that. It's Gotsi making the calls. So obviously, Charlie Fry could change a call that Gotsi made.
But right? Again, this is us speculating that. But because your original statement was that Flo lied to us. Flo was always nebulous, never gave us an answer. Is basically the bottom line. And I'm not nearly as worked up about this again as the overall thing. And if you're going to look, like for example, today. Other than apparently there being a lot that the Dolphins had to run on every single first and goal. Outside of that, I didn't have an issue with the play calling. It was fairly well balanced. The Dolphins
actually it was the best play called game of the year.
Yeah, that wasn't the issue. So today was fine.
It wasn't the issue now because you cleaned it up. Because now there's no interference. There's nothing. We're not playing. Telephone, you know, when we were kids that, you know, hey, you tell one person and then dot, 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 and by the time it gets to the end, the story's completely different. That's what the Dolphins were doing. They were playing telephone on offensive coordinators.
Yeah, I'm not so sure it's that necessarily that convoluted or maybe it's just the fact that the offensive line actually blocked well today, especially in the running game, and they rushed for 132 yards, which makes the play calling a whole lot easier than if it's 2 yards, 3 yards every single time you run the ball. So
I'm with you there. Your thoughts on Tua's play today, because two brutal interceptions, but actually a really good performance. But man, those two brutal interceptions just kind of, you know, put everything out of whack a little bit.
Yeah, I had just said somebody tweeted me saying, like, how can you say it's not an outstanding performance when he had four touchdown passes, a passer rating of, I think it was 107.1. Well, unfortunately, the biggest play of the game, if we're being honest, is a play that never, ever should have happened, that Tua had a brain fart where he decided, let me not take the sack. Let me try to make something miraculous happen when there's nothing there, which was a completely stupid play.
Yeah.
that's the play of the game, because even though he brought him back and the Dolphins did take the lead by that time, it left Atlanta in a position of needing only a field goal to win the game. And we all know the Dolphin defense is not making any kind of big stops this year. So that seemed to be a pretty foregone conclusion that once Atlanta had like two minutes change with the ball, the game was over. But no, he did do a lot of good things. Nice job with the scrambling again. Threw the ball very accurately. But those two interceptions are really, really, really hard to overlook. And the first one, it's him getting greedy. I mean, Atlanta doubled Durham Smythe, which is maybe Tua was shocked by that, because I don't see Durham Smythe getting doubled very often. But they had a guy underneath and they had a guy behind. And I don't know where Tua was thinking he could squeeze that ball in, but that's just a complete force. And there was a 2nd and 7 from the 14-yard line. There was no need to force that.
Yeah, no, there was definitely no need to force that. After you hear all this crap going on, are you expecting this trade to happen? Because it kind of seems to me the people that are in charge have moved on at quarterback. Tua can't feel like he's supported whatsoever when you hear everything going on constantly and the coach does not put out the fire at all. He allows it to just fester. And I find it to be a virus. And for him to say this week that he doesn't think it's a distraction, or he thinks it's a distraction that they can handle. Well, you're 1-6, dude. I don't think your team can handle any kind of distraction.
Except if we look at Tua's performance, again, other than the two bonehead decisions, he played very well. He didn't play like somebody whose mind was on that all those trade talks.
I'm not talking about Tua. I'm talking about everybody else.
Oh, yeah, but no, I'm not buying that. I'm not a big believer in this notion of distractions. I mean, these are professional athletes. They're used to the outside noise. It gets aggravating when they're asked in media settings. Outside of that, I don't think they really give a crap about it. And I do think a Deshaun Watson trade is going to happen, to me, because, as I've said before, I just can't imagine Cal McNair, the owner of the Texans, wanting to stomach having to pay Watson until the end of the season. And I'm gonna guess he's gonna tell Nick Caserio, get a trade done before the trade deadline. I want this guy out of here. Try to get as much as you can. Now, the bad part for the Dolphins, if they're gonna keep pushing for that trade, is now the word is that Carolina is gonna get involved again, because shockingly enough, Sam Darnold continues to struggle, and now they're 3-4. And Deshaun Watson, of course, played his college ball at Clemson, which is in South Carolina, not North Carolina, but kind of in the region. I haven't heard or read anything about Watson ever vetoing a trade to Carolina. I don't know how we would feel about that. And then David Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, I'm going to guess is a guy who's used to getting what he wants, just like Stephen Ross. So now we may be back into a bidding situation, unless Deshaun Watson tells Houston very clearly and in no uncertain terms, I'm going to Miami and nowhere else. So make it work over there.
Do you trade X, my brother? Because the effort I'm watching is weak sauce overall. And I know he ran into an interception today, so good for him. But I saw very weak coverage at times in this game. So I'm just wondering, where do you stand with X? Because it's not like he's really earning his money anymore.
Well, I'm not sure I'd agree with you on the kind of performance he put on, because he made a couple of other really nice plays. In fact, there was a play where his coverage was tight enough, I felt he probably should have gotten called for DPI holding. The play against Pittsburgh that we mentioned on the sideline, that was good coverage. It wasn't a lack of effort, just a great play by the Falcons. And that pick was he kind of lucked into it, but he was also like right in Calvin Ridley's pocket to be able to make that play. So I don't necessarily see a lack of effort. Let's say compared to, for example, the Dallas game in 2019, when he got double moved by Amari Cooper and basically kind of jogged after him afterwards. That looked to me like a guy who was quitting. I'm not sure I see that right now. As far as trading him, yeah, that's a tricky one.
By the way, his coverage on the hit by the kid, that was soft coverage on. He didn't really tighten up there. If it wasn't for the kid knocking the ball out, that saved them right there. That bailed. Go look at his coverage. He did not cover that guy at all, basically.
What play are you talking about?
The one where Javon Holland knocked the crap out of that guy. That was very soft coverage on his part. As he's go look at my pictures.
I put the Calvin Ridley pass over. Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Here's the thing.
I mean, he's still your best player. Clearly, you're going to have the contract issue that's going to pop up again next spring. That could be a problem.
And you can't pay him. And you can't pay him not after he plays like this so far. Well, I'm not impressed with him this year. Sorry, he's gotten burned all over the place. Every week he's gotten burned, bro. Every week, pretty much, he's gotten burned.
No, but are you going to also dump him for like a, I don't know, second round pick?
I'm not saying to give up on him for nothing, but I'm just saying if you can move him for something of value, I would do it. I would before either the knee blows up or he blows up. One of the two.
No, I would too. My question is what can you get for him? Is my concern because of the issues we mentioned, because of contract, because of the knee, and because he's not the player in this year that he was last year.
Tough.
Yep. Right.
We got an ugly contest coming up too. You got to go to Buffalo, man. Oh my God.
Yeah, that is not going well.
No, that's going to be a massacre, unfortunately. Follow him on Twitter at @PoopHeartNFL. More importantly, catch his work at the Sports Illustrated, man. And if you're a Dolphins fan, it's a great page to bookmark because all of his articles are one place and you can constantly keep up with him. Alan, as always, my brother, thank you for taking some time. Appreciate you.
You got it right back at you, Big O.
You got it. There you go. The great Alan Poopart.